Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. We are sponsored, as always, by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there. The interior is wall-to-wall pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. All right, so I just finished watching the Pirates beat the Reds in Cincinnati. Largely a pretty good win for the Pirates. We're going to talk a lot of baseball on this podcast, sort of some takeaways from this and where the Pirates stand right now. Where I'm at with this team is they are the definition of bobbing along. They're the definition of not really too bad, not really too good. They haven't won or lost three in a row since May 7th through the 10th. Think about that for a second. I'll give them credit that they don't let things fester, but they also can't build it very long or sustain it for long. It's kind of where I'm at. And for the Pirates to make a push for this thing, I really need to see them string some wins together. That's going to be tough to do this week. I mean, a key series rubber match today in Cincinnati, off day Thursday, and then they head to Atlanta, which is never easy. The schedule doesn't really lighten up. I don't hesitate to say anything lightens up anymore the way things are tightly packed together, but I'd really like to see the Pirates put a nice little run together. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they will or they'll regress. There was a lot of good tonight. Certainly liked seeing the offense pounded out 10-plus hits for a second consecutive game. Mitch Keller, for a lot of it, was very good. I thought they ran the bases aggressively. I thought that was an important thing. At the same time, I can look at Yasmani Grandal and his at-bats. I can look at Michael A. Taylor in his at-bats and the drop ball in center field. And it's just, it's not good. You're a mishmash. You're a mishmash of good and bad. An interesting note before the game, we found out that Henry Davis will be starting a rehab assignment in Altoona. It'll be interesting to see what happens between him and Joey Bart. Who gets back first? Who gets playing time? I think they have to give Henry some playing time. I don't know if you like slow play Joey Bart and him coming back or something, but they need to find out what they have in Henry Davis. It's time. I think that's what they wanted to do before he was concussed, but you need to find out what you have there. Yasmani Grandal is just not the answer. Defensively, it's serviceable, I guess, but there's just no offense there whatsoever. You've got a 1-1 pick who theoretically should be able to take over that position. As far as Mitch Keller, though, I was impressed with what he did. The curveball looked really, really good, even though it snapped a stretch for Keller of 8 straight with at least 6-plus innings. Went 5 2/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them were earned. I'm sorry, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them were earned. Not like you're paying attention to this podcast to get a pitching line for Mitch Keller, but I don't know. It's the baseball writer in me. I feel required to tell you. Keller is continuing to just, since the start of May, it's been absolutely outstanding for him. 2.01 ERA, 9 starts, 12 walks, 52 strikeouts. And, you know, this one should have been a quality start. Michael A. Taylor catches that ball off the bat of Ellie De La Cruz, and you're not really talking about anything negative whatsoever. You got 6 runs, 3 earned. Great start for Mitch Keller. I'm not willing to go there and say that Keller is, cooling off or something like that. He was just fine. He's now worked at least 5 innings in 47 straight. It's the longest active streak in Major League Baseball, the 4th longest in Pirates history. He's doing just fine. Also, excellent job pitchers fielding, by the way, to get Jonathan India at home in the first inning. I really like that. Was impressed with the base running. As I said, Andrew McCutchen stealing a base in the first inning. Rowdy Tellez stealing a base for the 4th time in his career. O'Neill Cruz made a smart read, I thought, on Edward Olivares bloop single in the 3rd inning. Michael A. Taylor, excellent job sliding it at home. Again, wish would have caught the ball. The throw to 3rd base was ill-advised, but still a good job running the bases. The Pirates certainly need more of that to become I would like to see them push the issue more than they have. That was probably a characteristic more of last season. They haven't done it as much this year. At least they haven't been smart with it. The other thing I saw that I really liked, and I want to, obviously give a shout out. I've been critical as well. Jared Triola, homers, 2-1 slider, middle in, drills it, 107.1 off the bat, line drive out the left. It was his first since May 24th. That would be big for the Pirates if Jared Triolo started to hit. Nick Gonzalez, 3 hits. By the way, he's seemingly getting back at it. Like that stuff. So Brian Reynolds was the other note that I had. I don't know if I have anything great to add about Brian Reynolds at this point, but blasted one 426. A typical swing from him. Just what a heater. Sixth straight game with an RBI for him. It's his sixth home run during the streak. It's now the longest hitting streak in Major League Baseball this season, the longest for a Pirate since 2003. It's just fun to accumulate all of the sort of accolades and superlatives going on with it. I don't know if I have any great take other than Brian Reynolds has been really good. One take I do have from tonight's not necessarily from the Reds game, but Braxton Ashcraft, by the way, a name to know. Keep an eye on that. 5 innings, 5 hits, 0 runs for Indianapolis. His AAA ERA in 3 outings now, 0.59. You're going to see him before too long. I talked on here the other day about the Pirates needing pitching depth, and, well, Braxton Ashcraft is their best chance at it. He's on the 40-man roster. We saw him in spring. He's very good. He's been slowed by injuries throughout his career, but he's very healthy at this point. I would imagine that there's an innings shutdown issue at some point. But in the end, I mean, maybe he's a bullpen guy. Maybe he's a bullpen guy you can add. Now, I'm not trying to get them to back off of acquiring a reliever at the deadline. I still want them to do that, but you're going to see Braxton Ashcraft at some point, and he's been darn good since bumping up to AAA. A couple other topics I want to get into today before signing off. The Steelers, obviously not a lot going on there right now, but ESPN put out something where they ranked all 32 teams' starters, and the Steelers were 18th. I was a little surprised by that. They were the lowest in their division. The Browns were 12th, the Bengals 7th, the Ravens 3rd. Do you agree with that? I agree that the AFC North is very good. The Steelers all the way down to 18th, though. I don't know about that. ESPN liked TJ Watt and the Steelers' edge rushers, which is fine. You know, they like him and Highsmith and what they've been able to do. Great. The biggest weakness they see is at wide receiver. Also completely fine with that. We've talked about that plenty. They question who's going to win the number two job, Van Jefferson, Roman Wilson, Quez Watkins, Scotty Miller, et cetera. And that's fine. I don't know either. I don't really love it. They said the biggest X factor is the offensive line. Also good with that. I'd like to believe it's going to be good, but it's understandable that you might need some adjustments with Troy Fautanu, Zach Frazier, et cetera. So I'm with them there. I found it odd that they're projecting the starters as the dime unit. There's no Landon Roberts in there. Maybe it's reading too much into it. I don't know. But I found that a little bit odd, and I think the Steelers will be at it better than 18th. That's my take. Maybe I'm looking at it through rose-colored glasses. I'm not sure. But I think there's more there than the 18th best group of starters throughout the NFL. I've also got some NHL news, not necessarily the Stanley Cup final, but they inducted, or not inducted, but announced the inductees for the latest class of Hockey Hall of Famers. Wanted to mention something on a personal note because it's one of my favorite players to watch. I know when I started covering hockey, well, first of all right, the class, Pavel Datsyuk, Jeremy Roenick, Shea Weber, former Olympians, Natalie Darwitz, Chrissy Wendell Paul, and also Colin Campbell and David Poyle in the builders category. But I wanted to talk about Datsyuk for a second. Maybe you have something similar. My wife loves to make fun of me for this, and that's fine. I don't know what it is. When I first started covering hockey, Pavel Datsyuk was largely in his prime, you know, was one of the better players, was one of the more interesting players, but still, you know, winding down his career. Whether it's the stick handling, the defense, just an odd face, way of carrying himself. I don't know. I just loved watching Pavel Datsyuk play. And I've always had a thing for the Red Wings for some reason. I read a book on Gordie Howe, and I've always kind of really loved their history. Big Joe Louis Arena fan. Loved covering games there. Loved going to Detroit. So there was something about that, but I don't know. It's neat to see somebody you have really idolized, admired. I don't know. We kind of lose that on the sports writer side. You know, we're not fans the same way you are, but I've always sort of been a fan of Pavel Datsyuk. I'm not sure why. I just like the way he plays the game. Drew Brees was another guy that I just like randomly was attracted to how he played the game and was a pseudo fan. But Datsyuk, 2-time cup winner, was really just a 4-time Lady Bing winner, won the Selke 3 times, went to the Olympics 5 times, won Golden Russia in 2018. I remember there was a practice at the UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex, Russia, practiced, and that was an interesting environment to see them take over the Penguins dressing room. But, you know, getting to be close to Pavel Datsyuk was a pretty cool thing for me. Shea Weber was another one that, you know, that I was on hockey when that happened, three-time Norris finalist, and darn if he wasn't very, very good, and some very deserving Hockey Hall of Famers, certainly. All right, that does it for me today. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of this content and more. We'll be breaking it down each day in this same place. But thank you for watching, and talk to you on First 10 tomorrow.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.